May the Tao of Shiva be with you. In a time of a pandemic, it's good to have someone who can keep the serenity from reaching pandemonium. This is, I'm told, our seventh annual Intergalactic Tao of the Mystic Rose Festival, or something similar. And that's, of course, a very auspicious number. And it's a great joy to welcome all of you dragon-hearted Taoist yogis to this extraordinary gathering. There are three ways to take a gathering like this, according to the Taoist philosophy. One is to treat this merely as an occasion. And an occasion is something that happens occasionally in chronological time. And it consists of talks and hopefully short ones, performances, food, all of the ingredients that goes into an ordinary special occasion. But if one treats it at that level of, we could say, the plot of the gathering, then one will miss out on the extraordinary opportunities that this weekend will offer everyone for the attainment of transformation. So it's very important not to be in the superficial level of what is happening. The second level would be to treat it as an occurrence as a symbolic arising in a dream that has some very particular individual meaning and messages that will be different for each one of you. And you will see that there is an extraordinary range of such messages in the performance that we are about to enjoy. But you can also take it as an event, which is something much deeper even than a symbolic understanding of the dream field, but an actual shift of consciousness from earth to heaven, from the phenomenal to the noumenal, a shift into the Tao of your original self, and to recognize that that original self, with all of its permutations, is on display, and yet that display leaves out the fundamental essential element, which is your own presence, a presence that is an absence and yet that is an all-pervading, all-containing love in which every event, every being, every arising manifests the one self. And to experience and imperience and sumerience simultaneously what is happening in Kronos, in Kairos, and in Ionic time will enable the realization of the timeless nature of our being that is producing this as a dream and producing that dream in order to awaken everyone from the dream. The play tonight that we are about to witness and participate in is an extraordinary combination of all of those levels. It will take us from the most crass and imaginary level of real one and up into the symbolic understanding of the nature of cultural change and of realization of that which is beyond the ego that can witness those events of life that bring us to a turning point, bring us to a moment of choice between life or death and between the lower death drive and the upper. And so it's an expression of that duality of our being that is also a non-duality in which love and death are one. Because is it not a self-annihilation of the ego to truly surrender in love? And if that surrender is to the self that is all-containing, is that not also liberation and the culmination of all that our experiences are leading us toward through an alternating current of light and dark? Just as in that great metaphor that we know of in Indian philosophy, the Mantan Ke Sagar, in which the devas and the asuras, the gods and the demons, are having a tug of war using Mount Meru as the axis and churning the ocean of consciousness. What comes out of it are both gods and goddesses and demonic beings and poisons that must be purified. In the same way, we learn in life through experiences of both success and failure, victory and defeat. And through the alternating current of the recognition of the attachment and the identification, and at the same time the inherent freedom and transcendence from that which is arising in the sensory domain of consciousness, those realizations of the different dimensions of consciousness that give us the margin of freedom that enable us to bring about change and transformation, that power of will that enables us to recognize the ego as a program that is always already obsolete because it pertains to a past that never was, because the eternal present is all that is real. And this is what enables us to drop not only all of the tendencies and habits of the ego that are attached to imaginary forms of love that are really the desire that is based on a projective identification of that which is lacking to the ego, but not a true relationship of being to being, heart to heart, self to self, in that ultimate realization of the unity of being. It's that shift in which we recognize that the two components of reality are a unified field on the one hand and separate excitations that arise in that field and disappear from that field. And to move from the excitation that is always present in the arousal of love, that is desire from within the body-based ego identity, into that manifest serenity and peace of the absolute presence that is egoless and bodiless, and the simultaneity of the relationship between these as figure and ground, as a gestalt in which non-duality and duality are recognized as a single whole, each one lighting up the luminosity of the other, and of creating even darkness as an instrument in which the light can know itself. It's this understanding that enables us to rise beyond all the superego judgments that would hold down the ego, feeling only the baggage of its karma, rather than to understand the transcendent significance of the recognition that karma itself is just a play that we are putting on ultimately as a blessing for all the players. And it is that understanding of the benevolence of all that happens, even in the darkest moments at the end of Kali Yuga that we are now going through, and the enslavement of the human spirit through its having been broken by the fear of death, and having lost its recognition of its own value of freedom and of its ability to transcend phenomenal conditions. It's that ultimate test of our being that we become aware of only at the moment when we are losing it, that also enables something to arise out of that unified field that is miraculous, that is beyond the conditionings of cause and effect, beyond all limitations, and that can bring about a true new beginning for time itself. And so here at the very end of time that is producing a new beginning through the very form of play that yogis engage in which play and purity are combined into a whole, and purity as the integration of duality and non-duality presents a capacity to play in a new way in which the non-dual spirit is able to emerge through the being who is an entity within the phenomenal plane. But that eternal nature of oneself shines through the characterization that we are unfolding and portraying as a dimension of our ultimately dimensionless self that can only be seen in profile, in a form that appears to the other as an object, but which then enables the true subjectivity, the true nature of selfhood to be recognized within. So an inverse of projective identification, in which we are able to identify with that which is beyond all name and all form, is the result of the play with name and form that brings out the whole history of consciousness as a single moment of teleological self-discovery. It's in this magic that the art of drama can bring about that we are fortunate enough to be able to witness tonight, thanks to the untiring work of the drama department of the Satyoga Institute and the incredible deep inner work of those who are involved in the performance in achieving that crystallization of character that enables the unseen and the beauty of the luminous self to emerge in the midst of the conflicts and chaos of a world that is falling apart. Because this play takes place in the Warring States period of China, when one civilization is collapsing and another needs to be born from the wisdom of great sages. And it is in that moment that the sages who are in need of giving that wisdom in order to provide a seed for a continuation of life come to be as those great names that we remember of Lao Tzu, Zhuang Tzu, Sun Tzu, Mencius, Confucius, all of those great beings who came together in a renaissance, in the same way that we are now producing a cultural renaissance of yogi sages with the capacity to bring about a new vision of the world that can be so powerful that the world itself as a dream field is transformed. So I want to thank the players in this performance, to the stagehands, to all who are involved in the setup and the costumes and the signifiers of ancient China and of the Taoist wisdom that we are transmitting from that long ago period, whose wisdom still shines as a great luminous beacon of navigation through the darkness of our current era. And to all of those who held the fort in the lodge and elsewhere and have kept the ashram going while this performance was being prepared. The art of cooperation that is demonstrated that enables us to put on an event like this is in itself extraordinary and a demonstration of the generosity of spirit that everyone in this community of yogis has developed and which enables us to proceed even in a time of darkness with bringing new light into the world. So I want to thank everyone for this, and I hope that you will watch this play and listen to the words, not simply with your ears. One of the famous statements of Zhuangzi, he said, the lowest level of learning is to hear with your ears. The middle level is to hear with the inner or the higher mind that can understand the dreamlike nature and get the message that is meant for you and use that to transform your own life. But then there is the listening with the spirit, in which the totality of consciousness that is on display enables you to become one with the Tao itself. And it is this attainment that is the purpose of this sacred gathering. I thank you all, and I will now abscond from the scene so that we can meet Princess Turandot of ancient China, and to see the story unfold that will express in dramatic form our own metamorphic trajectory of transformation. Namaste.